بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. Most respected elders and friends, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It was a noble habit of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when the month of Rajab used to set in, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to make this dua: Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban wa ballighna Ramadan. The meaning of which is, O Allah, bless us in the month of Rajab. Allah, bless us in the month of Sha'ban. And O Allah, convey us to the month of Ramadan. 2 months before the month of Ramadan, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to aspire for the barakat and the blessings of the month of Ramadan. When we ponder upon the wisdom of this dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with some of the incidents that take place around us, that we would see somebody that is healthy and fit, we would think that a person would live for 10 years and 20 years. And no sooner does the day pass by that the person is gone in the rahmat and the mercy of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And that is why we should never focus on our health. We should never focus on apparent means. We should only focus on the decree and the will of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Turn to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala and make dua to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us a dua: Allahumma waffiqni lima tuhib wa tarda waj'al akhiratana khayran min al-ula. Oh Allah, grant me tawfiq, grant me ability to do those things that you like, and grant me the tawfiq and hidayah to do things that will seek your pleasure. When we study Bukhari Sharif, we would observe that Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi compiled with Bukhari Sharif over a long period of time. Whilst compiling hadiths, he would go on a recess. And after a long while, when he would resume compiling the hadiths, at that time and point, he would write Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. And therefore in Bukhari Sharif, in many places you will notice Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim written in very, very odd places. And one of the explanations for that is, Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi, when he used to resume his lessons of Bukhari Sharif, he used to think that this is tawfiq from the side of Allah. One cannot rely on his academic abilities. One cannot think that he can do good without the will and the tawfiq of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And therefore, it is very, very important for us to make dua to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala that Allah grant us tawfiq, Allah grant us hidayat to do a'mal salih all the time. The greatest tawfiq is the life that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala gives to an individual. If we have life, then we can have the conductors of hadith. We have life, we can give sadaqah and charity. We have life, we can read 2 rakat extra salah. We have life, we can say 1 subhanallah. Without life, there's no tawfiq, a person cannot do anything. There are 2 issues. One is to have the ability to do something. One is qabiliyat. You have the skill, you have the ability to do something. And one is qubuliyat. Acceptance from the side of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Not everyone who has qabiliyat has an ability to do something, is accepted in the court of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. So whenever we do anything, any amal e salih, we should always focus. Our niyat should be the ridwan and the pleasure of Allah. Don't rely on our academic skills. Don't rely on our personal potential. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam built the Kaaba Sharif. Surely he had the ability to do that. But after having built the Kaaba Sharif, he didn't rely on his skills of building the Kaaba Sharif. He makes dua, Rabbana taqabbal minna. Allah, you accept of us. So make dua, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has granted us the tawfiq and hidayat to resume this dars of Bukhari Sharif on Islamic finance, business and economics. And Allah tabarak wa ta'ala must accept it of us. And most importantly, Allah must grant us the tawfiq and hidayat to straighten our muamalat and to correct our dealings. The lesson for today and the subject matter for today is the transaction of a fazuli. The term fazuli is an academic term which refers to a non-appointee doing a transaction on behalf of someone. For example, you have a motor vehicle. You have not appointed me to sell your motor vehicle. But probably because of the close relationship I have with you, I decided to sell your motor vehicle without your permission to the third person. So this is a transaction of a fuzuli, a non-appointee. And Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi actually refers to that aspect, that is this permissible and what is the Sharia perspective of that. By extension of that, we would discuss three other issues. If one person has hired a person to work for him, an employee, for some reason, the employee did not take his wages. The remuneration that was due to him, he did not take it. The employer takes the wages, the remuneration that was due to the employee, without the permission of the employee, he invested in a certain avenue. And that has grown over a period of time. Who is entitled to that profit? Is the employee entitled to a profit? Or the employer, he had applied his skills, his ability, and he invested the money in that avenue. So who is entitled to that profits? Another issue, one person had entrusted an item to someone. He told it to keep it in safekeeping, in trust. But the trustee, on his own, without permission of the owner, he invests that item in a certain avenue. And again, that accrues profits. Who's entitled to that? And a third issue, which is a common issue. Somebody passes away, he leaves behind a business. The heirs, they are all shareholders of that business. But one of the heirs who have been active participant of the business during the lifetime of the father, for example, he continues with the business without entering into a formal partnership with the other heirs. And over a period of time, that business keeps on expanding. And what was the value of the business at the time of the demise of the father, 1 year down the line, it probably must have gone double or triple. That surplus money that was made over a period of time, who is entitled to that? And lastly, what is the difference between a non-appointee, or what I mentioned, a fuzuli, and a person that has been appointed to do a transaction on your behalf, a representative, or what we would say in academic terms, a wakil. The difference between them two. Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi would present a very famous hadith, which most of us must have heard many, many times. Three people were traveling and they were stranded. They took refuge in a cave, and a rock came and blocked them. It is through this hadith Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi will drive his point home. So we will first focus on the hadith, the translation of the hadith, some moral points that we understand from the hadith, and then we will seek answers to the questions that we have presented now. I will read the Arabic of the hadith, translate it, and thereafter we will attend to the issues that Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi is focusing on. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi narrates the hadith on the authority of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma says that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Kharaja salasatu nafarin yamshun فأصابهم المطر فدخلوا في غار في جبل فانحدت عليهم صخرة. A group of three people were walking and they were caught up in a rain. It probably was a heavy thunderstorm, heavy rainfall. They got caught up in that. So they took refuge in a cave in a mountain, and after having went into that cave, there was a rock that came and blocked the entrance of the cave. قال فقال بعضهم لبعض ادعوا الله بأفضل عمل عملتمه. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that these three people, they were now stranded in the cave. So some said to the other, now that we are stranded, we cannot come out from this cave. Make dua to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala through the means of some virtuous act that you have done, and ask Allah tabarak wa ta'ala to relieve you from this difficulty and hardship. فَقَالَ أَحَدُهُمْ. So one of the three made dua to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala and said, اللهم إِنِّي كَانَ لِي أَبَوَانْ شَيْخَانْ كَبِيرَانْ. Oh Allah, I had both parents who were very, very elderly. فَكُنْتُ أَخْرُجْ فَأَرْعَى. I used to go out to graze the animals. ثم أجيء فأحلب فأجيء بالحلاب فآتي به أبواي فيشربان. Said on one occasion, I went out to graze the animals, and then when I come, my normal habit was, I would milk the animal, and the milk container, I would bring it and present it to my parents. فيشربان. My parents would first drink from the milk. ثم أسقي الصبي وأهلي وإمراتي. Then I would present the milk to my children, my other dependents, and my wife. So it so happened on one occasion, فَاحْتَبَسْتُ لَيْلَةً. One night, I was withheld. Something happened and I was delayed. I was unable to return home timeously. فَجِئْتُ. I came, فَإِذَا هُمَا نَائِمَانَ. By the time I reached home, my parents were asleep. قال. He says, فَكَرِهْتُ أَنْ أُوْقِذَهُمَا وَالصَّبِيَّةُ يَتَذَاغَوْنَ عِنْدَ رِجْلَيْهِ. I disliked, my parents were already asleep, I disliked waking them up, and at that time, my children, they were actually shouting out of hunger by my feet. فَلَمْ يَذَلْ دَعْبِي وَدَعْبُهُمَا. This condition remained all the time. I held the milk container by the headside of my parents while my children were crying out of hunger. Hatta tala'a al-fajr. Oh Allah, this happened right until the break of dawn. Now after presenting his case to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala while being stranded, he says, Allahumma in kunta ta'lamu anni fa'altu dhalika ibtigha'a wajhik fafruj anna furjatan nara minha as-sama. Oh Allah, if you know that I have done this, I have sacrificed for your pleasure, for your ridwan, your happiness, then open up for us an opening through which we could see the sky. The first person made that dua. Qal, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala accepted the dua of this person, and Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala opened up the cave a little bit, one third. Faqal al-akhir. Then the second person made dua to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala and he said, Allahumma, إن كنت تعلم أني كنت أحب إمرأة من بنات عمي كأشد ما يحب الرجل النساء. Oh Allah, you know that I loved a woman from among my cousin's sisters. And I loved that woman more than what a man would love a woman. I was in love. I was obsessed with her. فَقَالَتْ لَا تَنَالُ ذَاكَ مِنْهَا. When I tried to have access towards her, then she told to me that you cannot achieve that. That refers to fulfilling your carnal desires through me. حَتَّى تُعْتِيَهَا مِئَةَ دِينَارِ. Until you don't present to me 100 gold coins. فَسَعِيتُ فِيهَا حَتَّى جَمَعَتُهَا. Now because I was obsessed with this woman, and I wanted to fulfill my carnal desires with her, so I exerted myself in obtaining the 100 dinars until I collected the money. فَلَمَّا قَعَدْتُ بَيْنَ رِجْلِيهَا. When I have given her that money, and I sat between her legs, in other words, that prepared to fulfill my carnal desires with her, قَالَتْ. At that time and point, my cousin sister told to me, اتَّقِ اللَّهِ وَلَا تَفُضَّ الْخَاتَمِ إِلَّا بِحَقِّهِ. Fear Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, and do not open the seal but with the haq, with the right that is due to fulfill it. See, the moment she took the name of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, فَقُمْتُ. Now at that time and point, when a person is overwhelmed with his carnal desires, and for him to resist at that time and point is extremely difficult. But he says at that time, I exercised restraint, I contained myself, وَتَرَكْتُهَا. And I left that woman out. I did not fulfill my carnal desire with her. Now this person says to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, فَإِن كُنْتَ تَعْلَمُ أَنِّي فَعَلْتُ ذَلِكَ إِبْتَغَى وَجِكَ فَفْرُجْ عَنَّا فُرْجَةً. Oh Allah, if you know that I have done this, I exercised restraint, suppressed my carnal desires, I did it solely for your ridwan and your pleasure, then open up for us an opening. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, فَفَرَجَ عَنْهُمْ أَثْلُثَيْنِ. When a first person made dua, Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala removed, opened the cave 1/3. Almighty Allah accepted the dua of the second person, and now the cave were open 2/3. وَقَالَ الْآخَرَ. Now the third person made dua, and he says, اللهم إن كنت تعلم أني استأجرت أجيرا بفرق من ذرة. Oh Allah, if you know, there was an instance where I hired a person, an employee, in exchange of one farak. Farak is a measure of zurra of corn. فأعطيته. So when he completed his work and the money that was due to him, I gave it to him. فَأَبَى ذَلِكَ أَن يَأْخُذْ. For some reason, he refused to take the wages, the remuneration that was due to him. Probably was angry or something of that sort. فَعَمِدْتُ إِلَى ذَلِكَ الْفَرَقَ. I felt guilty. This money belonged to someone else. Why should I take it? So I took that corn, one farak of corn, and I farmed it. And it is through the proceeds of that farm, that corn that came out, حَتَّى اِشْتَرَيْتُ مِنْهُ بَقَرًا وَرَاعِيهَا. Through the proceeds of that corn and the maize that grew from it, I purchased a cattle and a grazer, a person to graze the animal. ثُمَّ جَاءَ. After some time, this employee came to me. فَقَالْ يَا عَبْدَ اللَّهِ أَعْطِنِي حَقِّي. My employee told to me, the slave of Allah, grant me my haqq, grant me my right. I work for you. You owe me my money. Pay me my money. فَقُلْتُ. So I told to him, انتلق إلى ذلك البقر وراعيها. There's the cattle there, and there's the graze of the cattle. Go take it away. So this former employee of mine, he told to me, أَتَسْتَحْزِئُ بِي. You make a mockery out of me? I work for one farak of corn. That's all I want. I don't want more than that. You telling me to take a cow and to take the grease off it? So, قُلْتُ مَا أَسْتَحْزِئُ بِكَ. So I told to this person that I'm not making a mockery out of you. وَلَكِنَّهَا لَكَ. But indeed, this cattle and the grease of the cattle belongs to you. So the third person says to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, Allahumma, إِن كُنْتَ تَعْلَمُ أَنِّي فَعَلْتُ ذَلِكَ إِبْتِغَى وَجِكَ. Oh Allah, if you know that I have done this for your ridwan and your pleasure, seeking your pleasure, فَفْرُجْ عَنَّا. Allah, open up this cave from us. فَكُشِفَ عَنْهُمْ. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa mentioned that that cave was opened up from them and they were able to come out from that cave. In this hadith, Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi refers to three values of life. One is a domestic value of life. Second, social value of life. And third, an economic value of life. In the first one, domestic value of life. The person was, he was a son serving his parents. If he wanted, he had to support his mother and his father, also support his children, but not to the extent that his children cry and his children are starved. But he had this habit, and he was overwhelmed by the previous habit. He did not want to give preference to his children, his wife, over his parents. Not that it is not permissible. From a principal point of view, he could have went and served his wife, his children, his dependents, and then even in the morning when the parents woke up, he could have given them their milk. But he was overwhelmed by a value system. And because of that, Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala appreciated it. Second, economic, social value. The person that was in love with his cousin sister, he entered into an agreement, albeit a haram agreement. When he withdrew from her, he could have also taken away his 100 dinars. But he gave her the 100 dinars and he still withdrew. And he looked at the desperation of that woman. And at the same time, he exercised restraint in fulfilling his passion and a desire. And the third, it is an economic value system. Somebody working for you didn't take his money. You probably maybe owed him 1,000 rands. And after some time when he come and ask you for the money, you only entitled to give him the 1,000 rand, not more than that. But in this case, the person took the wages, the remuneration, and he saw what was best in the interest of the employee. He harvested that money. And the proceeds of that, he had kept it in trust in the interest of the employee. It's an economic value system. Now there are two things. One is a principal way of life, and one is a value system of life. We live with principles, but we don't confine ourselves to principles. We go beyond principles, and we also adopt a certain value system to gain the closeness of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. And that is what invokes the rahmat and the mercy of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. You look at all these three people, economic system of life, economic value, social value, domestic value. You don't live only by a principle, you go by a value. You go the extra mile to present a value of life. That is something that invokes the rahmat and the mercy of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, and to the extent that the person become mustajabu da'wat. Many people ask, how do I become a mustajabu da'wat? How can I be a person whose dua are readily accepted? On another occasion in Bukhari Sharif, in the second volume, Imam Bukhari rahmatullah presents the same hadith. And he said that if a person wants his dua to be readily accepted, he explained it in the context of being obedient to parents. If a person is obedient to his parents, serves his parents, that is sufficient for a person to become mustajabu da'wat. Your dua are readily accepted. And because he mentioned the same hadith, likewise we could say that if a person has a certain economic value, go the extra mile, he doesn't just confine himself to principles, but he lives by a value system of economics, that also would be a means of his dua being accepted. Likewise, social value system. You don't only live by a principle, you go the extra mile, then to a person's dua will be readily accepted. So these are the three values that Imam Bukhari rahmatullah refers to, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam refers to in the hadith. Now, we also understand from this, that when a person keeps on doing amal-e-salih, good actions and deeds, then Almighty Allah tabarak wa removes difficulties and hardships. These three people were stranded, and then they remembered some good action and deed they may have done. And they used the means of that good action and deed and invoked the mercy of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So carry on doing a'mal salih. It removes difficulty and hardship. How often people are in certain difficulty and calamities and you hear of the incident, you don't know how the person actually survived. Then you hear our elderly people say, you may have done something good. And barakat of some good, Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala removed difficulty and hardship from you. This is not something that is not, there are no basis. They had a basis of it in the hadith as well. And besides that, besides the difficulty and hardship being removed from the world, your manzil toward the akhirat also becomes easy. So Allah grant us tawfiq, Allah grant us hidayat, to keep on doing amal salih, so that our worldly challenges are also overcome, and our challenges of the akhirat are also overcome. Now, reverting to the issue that Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi says. Imam Bukhari says, Babun idashtara shay'an lighayrihi bighayri iznihi faradiyah. This chapter is about when one person purchases something for another person, that is for a third person, without the permission of the third person, and after that transaction, the third person now approves of the transaction. And from this chapter we understand Imam Bukhari is discussing the concept of the transaction of a fazuli, of a non-appointee. As I mentioned to you all, and with the example that Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi gives, there may be a close relationship between you and I. I'm aware that you wish to purchase a car, a Toyota or a Mercedes, whatever the car may be. So, because of the close relationship I have with you, I go to the motor car dealer, I purchase the car, and I don't buy it for myself, I buy it for you. And then I come and tell to you, you wanted a car, here I bought the car for you. Not for me to pay, for you to pay. So, this is a transaction of a fuzuli. You did not appoint me, I'm a non-appointee doing a transaction on your behalf. Now the mas'ala is faradiyah. If you are happy, you approve of the transaction, then the transaction will be concluded. If you reject it, then I have to return the car to the motor car dealer. Now this is not only with a purchase, this is also if you have to sell an item that belongs to you. One of the conditions of a transaction of a fazuli is that the seller, the purchaser, and the subject matter, in the example that I've given you, I'm the purchaser, somebody is the seller, and the motor vehicle, all three must be in existence. If the transaction is approved, then if the owner on whose behalf you are doing the transaction, if he approves of the transaction, it will be approved, otherwise it will be rejected. The second issue we discussed, that if somebody has an employee didn't take his money, and the employer takes the wages, the remuneration of the employee, and invests it somewhere, the profits, who does that belong to? From the principal point of view, that money belongs to the employer. But from the value point of view, as we mentioned in the hadith, it is given over to the employee. And that is the point Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi wishes to mention. The third issue about something being entrusted to someone. Somebody entrusts an item to you, and then without the permission of the owner, you use it to invest somewhere. Who is entitled to that profits? Again, one is a principal point of view, and one is a value point of view. From the value point of view, it should go to whoever item it is. And the third is about the estate situation, where if somebody passes away, he leaves a business, and one of the sons, without entering into a partnership with the other heirs, if he entered in a partnership with the other heirs, and the other heirs have appointed him as their representative to continue the business, then it will be a partnership and the profit will be shared, pro rata, whatever is the share of the inheritance. But if there was no formal partnership that had taken place, and one of the heirs on their own go and do the transaction, now, the profits that accrued at the end of the term. One is the principal point of view, and one is the value point of view. From the value point of view, as we understand from the hadith, it should be given to all the wurasa, it should be given to all the heirs. And then the last point, that one is a fuzuli, and one is a representative. One is that you have conducted a transaction without my permission. And one is that I have appointed you to do a transaction. So that is a wakil. And that is, you are my representative. In that situation, you cannot do whatever you want to do. You are bound by strict term and conditions that I have given you. And according to that, if you fulfill the term and conditions, what I told you to do, I told you to go buy a car, or I told you to go buy a particular item, and I defined the item, then you are bound to do exactly as I told you to do. But if you went against my terms and conditions, then you buy the item, I'm not bound to accept that item. So anyway, Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayh, in this today's lesson, he presents a lengthy hadith whilst he explains the mas'ala. But as I mentioned, we don't just live by a principle point of view, we live by a value system, and we try to
do our muamala the best of our ability, it's not only about earning your money, it's not only about enriching yourself, it's also doing our business and economics with a particular value system. It's not only about enriching yourself, it is all about a proper expression of humanity and wishing for the next person. Almighty Allah Ta'ala grant us tawfiq and hidayat to practice on this hadith, and Allah Ta'ala grant us tawfiq and hidayat to straighten our muamalat, correct our muamalat, and earn the ridwan and the pleasure of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.